कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की शिल प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथं विदं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नारायण नमस्कृत नरम चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवा भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण So we welcome all of you for this Sunday feast program, and I sincerely seek blessings from one of our Prabhupada's disciples, Shankarshan Prabhu, is somewhere here around, and his good wife Sachimata. I would like to take their blessings, and also all the senior devotees, counselors, and also all assembled devotees, I seek the blessings so that I can make an attempt to speak on subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Since Janmashtami is next Saturday, Friday, and many of the senior devotees will be speaking on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Samam Bonam. So I thought that I will speak on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because first canto represents the lotus feet of the Lord. And it's a nice meditation, as we have been trained, because Bhagavatam says, when we take darshan of the Supreme Lord, we directly don't look at the face of the Lord. We start our meditation, take darshan of the Lord by taking first darshan of his lotus feet. So it's a nice meditation for Janmashtami, meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. And the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord are enumerated in many of the pastimes of the Lord throughout the Bhagavatam. Because the lotus feet of the Lord are considered as thunderbolts. So many analogies are given, beautifully explained, that they are considered as thunderbolt. And as the thunderbolt smashes the mountain to pieces, it is considered, or it is a fact in not considered, that as we meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, mountains of sin, as they are in our heart, they are completely turned into ashes, turned to powder. So today, we will discuss from the first canto, the section where Parikshit Maharaj is cursed by a son of a Brahmana. And how he took that curse. It was the greatest drawback in his life, in one sense, if we see externally. So Bhagavatam teaches us how to see difficulties in life, how to handle different situations. And what was the attitude of Parikshit Maharaj? How he took this curse? What was his consciousness after the curse? And what he did? These are the most important things, and so many lessons to be learned. And Prabhupada's purports are fully loaded with so many lessons. Of course, we have a short time. It's a big pastime. But we'll try to cover, and so far as my knowledge goes, around maybe 10 to 15 lessons we can learn from this particular pastime, which is very much relevant for Sakas, practitioners of devotional service. So before we start, few minutes I would like to spend on, as many of you may be knowing and you may be reading Srimad Bhagavatam daily. So, few minutes I would like to spend on what is the goal of Bhagavatam and some of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we can turn to our main subject. What was Parikshit Maharaj's attitude? What was the consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj after the curse? So, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly defines the Supreme Lord in the first verse. What is absolute truth? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Clear-cut definition of the Lord is given, from whom everything emanates. And who is that absolute truth? Param Satya. Clear-cut, his name is also given. Bhagavatam is personal. God is a person. Bhagavatam is personal. Of course, there are various aspects of God realization, but ultimate realization is that God is a person. So clear cut, right from first shloka, clear cut definition of God is given, his name is given. And second verse clearly explains what this Bhagavatam is all about. I will read the translation for all of you. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Puran propounds the highest truth, Param Satya, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. People generally ఆర్ ఆఫ్టర్ రిలీజన్ ఫోర్ పురుషార్థర్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ ధర్మ అర్థ కామ మోక్ష పీపుల్ వాంట్ టు బి రిలీజియస్ దే వాంట్ టు కమ్ టు టెంపుల్ వై దే వాంట్ టు షో దట్ ఐఎమ్ ఆల్సో రిలీజియస్ పర్సన్ అండ్ వెన్ దే కమ్ మోస్ట్లీ of course we are all in the same category but at least we know now when we read bhagavatam that this should not be the aim mostly people perform religion for second purushartha dharma they want to follow religion for artha for getting material gains and when they get material benefits material profit after performing some religious activity they want to enjoy calm. They want to enjoy sense gratification. And how long can one enjoy? Because everything in the material world is temporary. Everything is taken away by time. No one remains beautiful for lifelong. And no one remains rich. Everything is taken away by time. Recently someone was telling some famous film star, he passed away. Of course, we are sorry for that. But he died and actually nobody was there to take care of him. He was, at one time, someone was telling in lecture just 2 days back, Vamsi Gopal was telling that as he passed, when he was young, he was a hero. People used to take the dust from the car's tires. He was such a great hero. But at the last moment, nobody was there to take care of him. So everything is taken away by time. Everything is destroying. Time destroys everything. So how long can one enjoy sense gratification? Then one gets frustrated. And then he looks for mukti. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. He wants to get liberated. He wants to have something higher. But Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad means beautiful. And Bhagavatam means the beautiful activities, glorification of the Supreme Lord. Story of God, the beautiful story of God and His devotees. So Bhagavatam doesn't have any scope for dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Completely rejecting, here it is said, all religious activities which are materially motivated. It completely rejects dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And it propounds the highest truth. Highest truth which is understandable by devotees who are fully pure at heart. And what is that highest truth? It is distinguished from illusion for welfare of all. A conditioned soul is an illusion. Everyone in the material world is born in illusion. Ichha dvesha samuttena dvando mohena bharata. Everyone is born in illusion. Only when such soul comes in contact with some devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, he gets that seed of devotional service and his life of eternity starts. Bhagavatam gives explanation about eternal life, not about temporary enjoyment of this world. Therefore, it completely rejects dharma, artha, kama, moksha and it distinguishes reality from illusion. Conditioned soul, jivatma, is in illusion since time immemorial. And he is trying to enjoy through his body, through his senses, through his mind, through his intelligence. Somehow or the other he is trying to squeeze happiness. But we see nowadays, the more we are making advancement, the more science and technology is making so much advancement, the more people are becoming frustrated. The more people have gadgets, the more miserable he is. The more people have so many comforts, the more miserable they are. Prabhupada used to say, what's so great? Animal is walking on four legs and you are also going in a car which has four wheels. What's so, is there in quality, difference in quality of life? We are just having the same activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. No inquiry about the absolute truth. So Bhagavatam says that we have to inquire about that absolute truth. And once you know this truth, at least you make an attempt to know the truth, it uproots all threefold miseries which everyone has. When we preach, generally people out of ego they say that I am the happiest person. It is said that two people are happy. One is fool number one. Example is like a drunkard who drinks and just falls in some gutter and he thinks he is the greatest, happiest person in the world. He is the most illusionary, he is in most illusion. Another person who is happy is like he is on a very high stage of devotional service. Paramahamsa Vaishnava. Who is absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord. So therefore, everyone is been tortured by the threefold miseries. Adidevik, Adibhautik and Adhyatmik Klesh. One may out of ego, he may not accept that he is not suffering. People challenge when we go to preaching that we are happy. Where there is unhappiness, we are happy. But everyone is been tortured by these threefold miseries of life. And this year, I think it will be the most miserable year. Rains are not there. Bombay, if the lakes are full, then Bombay is saved. Somehow or the other. Bombay doesn't mind. People don't mind how much the cost of dal or rice is. It has so much money. But no one can buy water. So always people are being tortured by these threefold miseries. It's only the egoistic mind which doesn't want to submit to the Supreme Lord. So this Bhagavatam uproots all the threefold miseries. And it was compiled by Vyasadeva at his maturity in devotional service. And therefore it is said, why there is a need of any other scripture? That doesn't mean we undermine other scriptures. But this is the essence of all scriptures. So two things are needed. All we need in order to become happy. Only two things are needed. Just hear, Prabhupada says. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, just hear what I am saying. So here it is translated. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. The conditioned soul is suffering only because he has been lost in material existence. Since time immemorial, he is forgot his relationship with God. Bhagavatam therefore gives sambandha gyan. That is our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Abhideya. That is how we can revive that relationship with the Supreme Lord. And prayojan. What is the result? What I will get out of it? That is prema pumartho mahan. Topmost. That is love for God. Prabhupada therefore always says, religion, if it is not teaching us to love God, then that is cheating religion. Whatever religion one may follow. But if it is not teaching how to love God, then it is a cheating religion. So everybody is looking for that love, but we don't know where to repose that love. And therefore people are trying to love so many objects. The whole advertisement industry is after that. You buy this, you will become happy. But ultimately we become miserable. When we repose, Bhishmadev says, when we repose that love in the Supreme Lord, then we really become happy. So Bhagavatam is all about the Lord's reciprocation with his devotees. His loving transactions with his devotees. And how the devotees have surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And how they interact with the Lord. How they serve the Lord. So Bhagavatam is all about glorification of the Supreme Lord. We have to glorify someone. If we don't glorify God, then we glorify someone else. Either a film star, a rock star, or a sports star. Or either any person whom you feel he is your role model. So that propensity is there to glorify. But when we glorify the Supreme Lord, it purifies the heart. Nobody is purified by glorifying a film actor. Nobody has been getting purified by glorifying any sports star. That doesn't mean that we don't appreciate. We appreciate that also, that quality which a person has. That also is coming from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, that is just my fraction of my energy. Whatever we see, someone we see very beautiful or we see someone intelligent, that is just fraction of Krishna's energy. and therefore we appreciate. Therefore devotees, they don't criticize, they appreciate. But one has to know whom to glorify. Therefore Christianity also, Bible also says, praise the Lord. Every religion says that we have to praise the Lord, glorify the Lord. And Bhagavatam is full of glorification of the Lord. So as we glorify, we get purified. And therefore, Bhagavatam is the very means of conquest. We sing this prayer before our class. Narayanam namaskritta naram chayo narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. So this prayer, Tato Jaya Mudirayat. We are meant to conquer ignorance. Human form of life is meant to conquer ignorance. And we are in the darkest region of ignorance. 3/4 of creation, it is said, is spiritual world. Only 1/4 is this material world. And therefore this place is called as Kuntha, a place of anxiety. And nobody can say that he is free from anxiety. Everybody is full of anxiety. Therefore these Puranas and these Vedic scriptures, they give direction that how we can proceed, how we can start our journey to Vaikuntha. And today Gaur Gopal Prabhu was giving beautiful lecture on faith. Practically more you are qualified, the more you have material education, your faith on scriptures, faith on the holy name, faith on the Lord is completely destroyed. That is the power of material energy of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jada Vidya Mayara Vaibhav. This whatever we acquire, big degrees, we are not against that. We use it in the service of the Lord. Nothing is bad, provided it is used in service of the Lord. But more we accumulate, we see, the more person is qualified, the more puffed up he is. The more his ego is. Even a small child has ego. What to say, a big PhD from a big university, Harvard or Yale University. He may have so much puffed up. And therefore, because we are getting puffed up with so much of material knowledge, he doesn't have that faith. And simple things which are given in Bhagavatam, which even a common man can understand, he has so many doubts. Gaur Gopal Prabhu was giving so many beautiful examples of people from different fields, highly qualified, and they are questioning, why such things? Why Krishna did things? Why is such things? So they can't put faith. And these simple gopas and gopis, they are complete faith in the Lord. They are pure devotees of the Lord. So therefore, this Bhagavatam is a very means to conquest. And only a serious student will benefit. Prabhupada says in one of the purport. It is said, this process of devotional service is consisting of hearing, chanting is very simple. But application is difficult. Process is simple. Prabhupada says, just come, sit. But mind goes here and there. It's a big austerity in Kali Yuga to sit and hear. There is a beautiful shloka I will quote for you, which very much inspires. In Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, Vidur is saying that Shrutasya Pumsam Suchira Shramasya Nano Anjasa Surubhir Idito Artha Tat Tat Guna Anushramana Mukunda Padara Vindam Rudayeshvesham. Persons who hear from the spiritual master with great labor. To hear is a great labor in Kali Yuga. You have to put so much efforts. Mind starts reeling. So many, we are generally physically present and mind is somewhere else. So it's a great labor to focus the mind for maybe 45 minutes or 1 hour, or today it may be like 1.5 hour because the scheduled time is 1.5 hour. So it's a really struggle. It's a hard labor. But one who undergoes such hard labor, it is said further that one who with great labor for a long time, he hears from the devotees of the Lord about the character and activities of the pure devotee. Then, as soon as he hears, development of devotional service starts. That is the glory of hearing. And therefore, we will be discussing today about a pure devotee Mahabhagavat devotee, devotee of first order Maharaj Parikshit. As soon as we start hearing of the activities of the pure devotees of the Lord, because Bhagavatam, everything is related to the Supreme Lord. Nothing is separate from the Lord. And therefore, hearing about the Lord and hearing about his devotees is as good as it's is on the same plane. Hearing about a pure devotee of the Lord or hearing about the Lord, they are on the same level, on a spiritual transcendental platform. So therefore, more we hear about the pure devotees of the Lord, then within our hearts, here it is said, Guna Anushranam Mukunda. Krishna is established in our heart. Krishna is already there. We have forgotten it. And therefore, the more we hear, the more this Sambandha Gyan, relationship with the Supreme Lord is established by hearing. And then Abhideya and then Prayojan. But the first step is to establish our relationship with God. And as soon as we hear about the Lord, this process starts. And therefore hearing is the most important process. And therefore Prabhupada has made this system of everyday Bhagavatam class in the morning in all his temples. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Not that you hear Bhagavatam only for 7 days, and then you go back and watch TV. One devotee was telling that he goes for some program and some people come for his program, and one of them is so impatient. He is looking forward that when will the lecture end? And as soon as he goes, he doesn't take prasad also. He makes the plate and he stays there only in that building. So as soon as the lecture tells someone to get a plate of prasad, and he immediately goes to his flat, and first thing he does is he switches on what everyone knows, TV. And he wants to get back to his activities. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, two qualities are explained. Submission. And attentive hearing. We cannot submit to the process of hearing because we don't want to accept someone greater than us. This ego is so strong, it doesn't want to accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am something great. This ego puts us one into illusion. But the process is, the more you hear from a pure devotee of the Lord, as Prabhuji was explaining in the morning, that these words, they are vehicle. It will enter the heart and it will change the heart. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see practically thousands of devotees are being made. Prabhupada has left these worlds, 1977, 40 years nearly have passed. But still his Bhagavatam, his books are transforming so many people's heart. That is the power of spiritual sound vibration. On the other hand, if we just focus on hearing material sound vibration, which is so powerful now, the whole media, the whole Bollywood, Hollywood industry is just about material sound. And I travel a lot and I see these people, generally these boys and girls, and they are just plugged in their earplugs and they are hearing. I don't know what they hear for. I don't know. It's just a film song or I don't think they may be hearing from class of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So much material sound vibration they are pouring into their ear holes. It is said if the ear holes are not used in the service of the Lord, they are useless. They are considered like the holes of a snake. So much sound vibration, it has an effect on our consciousness. Nobody realizes it. You can make an experiment. This material sound vibration is actually pollutes the heart. This sound vibration, material sound vibration, it enters the ear, and it not just enters the ears, it pierces the heart. Any film song, for example, it is not going to give you Krishna Prem. It is going to increase the Shad Ripu, six anarthas. It will increase the lust, anger, greed, envy and illusion and pride. It will put you into more illusionary happiness. And any sound vibration, whether it's a cricket match or a film song, it's not going to give, it is just scintillating the senses, it's giving us just temporary pleasure. But afterwards, everyone is frustrated. How long can one hear? That is the power of material sound vibration. On the other hand, when we hear the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This holy name, which has been the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Sankirtana. To perform congregational chanting of the holy name. This holy name is completely spiritual. It's non-different from the Lord. Abhinnatva nama namino. Krishna's name and Krishna, they are non-different. And when the sound vibration enters the ear, what happens? It completely destroys whatever anarthas are there in our heart. This sound is not an ordinary sound. It is going to give a life of eternity. It is an eternal sound transported from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. It has been directly coming from the spiritual world through this messenger, through the parampara, through Srila Prabhupada. And it is going to enter our ear. And it is going to reveal our real nature. That is what Bhagavatam is going to, Bhagavatam reveals our real nature, Sambandha Gyan. And then that establishes our eternal relationship with the Lord. So that the spiritual sound vibration will give a life of eternity. That is the difference between material sound vibration and spiritual sound vibration. The more we fill our ears with the glorification of the Lord, with chanting of the names of the Lord, there is more chance that we will achieve the result. To the degree we are serious, to that degree we will achieve the result. That is life of eternity. Because the soul is eternal. Body is temporary. And we are just after bodily pleasure. Everything is taken away by time. When death comes, everything is taken away. But the soul never dies. The body dies. The soul, according to the consciousness of the person at the time of death, it takes up the body. This is a basic Bhagavad Gita philosophy everyone must be aware of. So therefore, today we will discuss about Parikshit Maharaj, his consciousness. Bhagavatam is all about consciousness of different devotees. Consciousness of the Lord, consciousness of his devotees. How the devotees reacted to different incidences in their lives, how they handled different difficulties in life, how they face different reversals in life. What was their consciousness? Which is most important. And when we hear these pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, that consciousness, it affects our consciousness. That is material consciousness. And gradually as the purification takes place, our material consciousness changes. And the process starts working. And gradually, we become Krishna conscious. So this is the process of hearing. So we'll be discussing from 18th and 19th chapter of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just before we start, some glorification again of the Supreme Lord, which will help us to appreciate what Bhagavatam is all about. And since Janmashtami is coming, we can make a resolution that we get into Bhagavatam. Many of you are already into Bhagavatam, but those who are not, they can really get into Bhagavatam, start reading and hearing. And we can assure you, it's really nectar. It has to change a person's heart. Though the process is gradual, in one day one is not going to become a pure devotee. Oh, I am reading Bhagavatam, I have become a pure devotee. No. The process is gradual, but it is certain. Because since time immemorial, we have been accumulating so many anarthas. Mountains of anarthas are there in our heart. So it will take some time. Because we are not we have to have these two qualifications. We have to be attentive and we have to be submissive. So attentive, for attentive hearing, why we can't be attentive? Prabhupada gives in one of the purport in first canto very nice understanding. Why a person cannot be attentive to Krishna's message, to Krishna Katha? It is said, Prabhupada says that it's because of the impure mind. So many things are going in the mind. And therefore, we can't be attentive to the Krishna's pastimes. Mind doesn't focus on hearing because it has so many things to do. We may be thinking, oh, what's there for prasad? It's 1:45, still one more hour. Or maybe somebody may be thinking, oh, tomorrow I have to go to office, I have so many assignments and this thing, and boss is out of station, tomorrow he'll come and he will chastise because I have not done what I'm supposed to do. So many things. And therefore mind is preoccupied and therefore one cannot focus. So therefore it is said the bird of mind flies either in the past or in the future but doesn't stay in the present. For 1 hour we can forget everything and focus. It's not going to affect anything. Nothing is going to change in the world if we just forget everything and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, because of the impure mind, one cannot be attentive. And why the mind is impure? Because of impure actions. And impure actions are due to impure habits of eating, sleeping and mating and defending. But Prabhupada purports are very hopeful. Ashadayak. They don't make you depressed. They make you realize you are fallen. But at the same time, they give lot of hope. And therefore, thousands of people, millions of people are becoming devotees because they are full of hope. Kali Yuga, there is no hope. Only hope is mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And everything is possible by their mercy. So Prabhupada gives very hopeful statement. Somehow the other, one hears this message of Krishna with attention. From the very beginning, one can feel the presence of Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is non-different from Supreme Lord. All the 12 cantos are arranged in such a way that it represents the transcendental body of the Lord. 10th canto is the face of the Lord. First canto, second canto are the lotus feet of the Lord. And gradually as we progress, 10th canto is the face of the Lord. Therefore, meditation starts from the lotus feet of the Lord to the face and then to the head. And beautiful, today Radha Gopinath has been, Shringar has been done by devotees. It is said, once we are attracted towards Krishna, we'll forget the beauty of this material world. Krishna is always a youth. Nobody remains a youth. If you see the most beautiful man or beautiful woman after 50 years, you will think, is this the same person? Everything gets destroyed by time. But Krishna is, you will never see Krishna with a beard or with a black, white hair, grey hair. He's ever youth. And similarly, the soul is also eternal. But because we have accepted this temporary body, we are suffering. That is the cause of suffering. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says that when people properly glorify the Lord and simply hear about the Lord, about His power, the Lord personally enters. Pravishya chittam vidunoti ashesham. He personally enters into the heart of a devotee and cleanses away every trace of misfortune. Just as sun removes the darkness or as powerful wind drives away the clouds. That is the power of the Lord's holy name. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam when you hear glorification of the Lord. And therefore, the glories of the Lord need to be propagated. Therefore, everyone should preach. Because this is the only way where the influence of Kali can be minimized. Why Kali has so much influence? Because we are not preaching. We are in our own comfort zone thinking, though, okay, I will chant my rounds. No. The more we propagate the Harinam Sankirtan, Prabhupada says, the less will be the influence of Kali. And this 10,000 years is the golden age. And therefore so much is preaching is going on all over the world. In Russia, China, these are the biggest countries where Russia, where preaching is going on. And once this temple of Vedic planetarium comes up, it will be like a flood. It's a good, it is predicted that the preaching will increase many times. It's already started. And it is said that in 2016 this temple will come up. And there will be crores and crores and millions of people becoming devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So we can be the part of the solution. Rather than becoming a part of the problem, we can become the part of the solution by preaching. So therefore, preaching the glories of the Lord. So there are five characteristics of the glories of the Lord. First is Tadeva Ramyam Ruchiram Navam Navam Tadeva Shashvan Manaso Mahotsavam Tadeva Shoka Arnava Shoshanam Nrunam Yad Uttama Shloka Yasho Anugiyate. That those words describing the glories of the Lord are attractive. Anyone would like to hear, he may have faith or may not have faith. That is a different issue. But Krishna's pastimes are all attractive. His glories are all attractive. Ramyam, ruchiram, they are relishable. And they are ever fresh. The more you hear, the more you find, it becomes fresh. You may hear the same pastime from different devotees. And still you think, oh, it's so new. Last time I heard, but this time it was a new perspective. Because Krishna is not limited. It's unlimited. So it's ever fresh. And such words are perpetual festival to the mind. Manaso Mahatsavam. It is really festival for the mind. And this is most important now. Conclusion. That when we hear these beautiful words describing the glories of the Lord, they dry up the ocean of misery. We are all miserable and it really destroys all the miseries. And therefore, Sanatan Goswami says, my best friend is Srimad Bhagavatam. Mad eka bandhu, mad sangin. Srimad Bhagavatam is my only friend. He is my only companion. He is only my teacher. He is my only dhan. People are after dhan. Money. But that is just temporary. Everything is taken away. Srimad Bhagavatam is really real wealth. And it is my great good fortune. It is my deliverer. And it is my, oh my bliss. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll start with this short introduction. I am not a good orator, so I will try to read something from whatever I have understood, and I try to share some lessons from Parikshit Maharaj, this particular incidents. We have around 45 minutes of around 1 hour, so we'll try to discuss. So before we directly jump to the main subject matter, like what was the consciousness after the curse, in short, we'll try to know what actually happened, why this cursed, why he was cursed. Everyone may be knowing this pastime, but still, repetition is good, Prabhupada says, because there is a tendency to forget everything. So we'll repeat this particular incident, very beautifully explained by Sukhdeva Goswami. Sukhdeva Goswami, out of compassion, has spoken this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually he has realized everything. He has assimilated by experience. And then he has spoken for all of all. For the humanity. So therefore the topmost occupation for all humanity is to hear about the Supreme Lord. So here, the pastime, this incident starts. It is said, Ekada dhanur udyamya Vicharan Mrugayan Vane Mrugan Anugata Shranta Shuditas Trishto Brusham Jalashayam Ashakshana Praviveshatam Ashramam Dadarsha Munim Asinam Shantam Milita Lochanam. ఏకదా వన్స్ అపాన్ అ టైం పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ వైల్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ హంటింగ్ ఇన్ ద ఫారెస్ట్ విత్ బో అండ్ ఆరోస్ బికేమ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ ఫటిక్డ్ హంగ్రీ అండ్ థర్స్టీ వైల్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ద స్టాగ్స్ వైల్ సర్చింగ్ ఫర్ రిజర్వర్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్ హీ ఎంటర్డ్ ద హెర్మిటేజ్ ఆఫ్ ద వెల్ నోన్ షమిక్ ఋషి అండ్ సా ద సేజ్ సిట్టింగ్ సైలెంట్లీ విత్ క్లోజ్డ్ ఐజ్ సో దిస్ ఈజ్ అ ప్రిల్యూడ్ ఏకదా హరే కృష్ణ సో దిస్ ఈజ్ అ ప్రిల్యూడ్ వన్స్ అపాన్ అ టైమ్ ప్రిల్యూడ్ టు హౌ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం వాజ్ స్పోకన్ సో ప్రభుపాద్ గివ్స్ వండర్ఫుల్ పర్పర్ట్స్ అండ్ లెసన్స్ టు బి లర్న్ సో ద ఫస్ట్ లెసన్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ద హోల్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్ ద హోల్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ ఆఫ్ పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ బీన్ కర్స్డ్ shows the merciful nature of the Lord, kindness of the Lord towards his devotee. So we will see how a curse can be an act of kindness. Therefore we need to hear from pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. We need a commentary, we need a purport for it. Otherwise people may concoct and they may think it's something difficult to understand. We need purports. Prabhupada gives very beautiful purports, long purports. Maximum time Prabhupada spent on writing first canto. And before he went to US, he had this first canto in 3 volumes. And one of Prabhupada's disciples, he was told by Srila Prabhupada, Bhavanand Prabhu, that this first canto in itself is sufficient to go home back to Godhead. Prabhupada had given so much nectar. Of course, that doesn't mean we just read only first canto. It's a whole series Prabhupada has translated, 12 cantos. But this is the glory of first canto. So how the Lord is kind? Prabhupada writes in the purport that the situation was such created by the Lord. Now pure devotee like Parikshit Maharaj, how can he be disturbed by hunger and thirst? A pure devotee is not disturbed by hunger and thirst, as the definition goes. How come he became hungry and thirsty and he became fatigued? Prabhupada writes that when the Lord wants to call his devotee back home, back to Godhead, he creates certain situation where he can take that opportunity to come back to him. He wanted that Parikshit Maharaj should renounce. He is a Rajarshi. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj is a great devotee, devotee of first order, Mahabhagavat devotee. But he was playing the role as a king. And Krishna makes only pure devotees instruments to teach us a lesson. He will not make us any conditioned soul because we cannot take it. If Krishna wants to purify, we are so fearful. We don't have that guts to pray like Kunti Maharani. Give me calamities so that I can remember you. At least I don't have that guts to pray in front of the Lord that please give me difficulty so I can remember you. One small difficulty and we get disturbed. One crisis, economic crisis in family, it disturbs. Where there is chance that we will remember Krishna? So Krishna makes only his pure devotees, close associates, instruments to teach lessons to the conditioned soul. Prabhupada, for example, Srila Prabhupada, when his business went down, everything was, he was like bankrupt in Allahabad. He was completely balanced. He remembered the Bhagavatam Shloka that one who is dear to the Lord, Krishna takes away everything, all material things from him, so that he becomes completely surrendered, becomes completely dependent on him. See the consciousness of a pure devotee, Paramahamsa Vaishnava. That is why we hear. We have to hear about the glories of the Lord and his devotees. What was Prabhupada's consciousness at that time? He was at that time a grihastha businessman. But being a pure devotee, he thought it's just Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna's will. And when time came, he went in 1965, in 12 years, he had so many 108 temples, big, big farm communities, temples and so many followers, but still he was the same person. He was not disturbed by the opulences. Generally people get disturbed. Once you start getting power, prestige, followers, puja la pratishta, it goes into the head. Prabhupada is a pure Vaishnava, he's completely balanced, he was completely detached. He had so much wealth. Before going to US, he didn't have money. He didn't have, Lilamrut explains, he didn't have money to buy a refill. And then he had crores of rupees. But he was completely detached. Once in one temple he was sitting, and on his table there was so much money kept. And he was counting. And one person came, some visitor, and he got bewildered, confused. Swamiji? He's supposed to be a great Vaishnav, great Paramahamsa devotee, and he's counting money so much, and so much time it took because there was a lot of notes. And Prabhupada was counting. And this person became impatient. Means he thought that Prabhupada maybe, so many doubts came in his mind. And then Prabhupada, after counting all the notes, he make into small packets. And then immediately, he called all of his disciples, 4 or 5 disciples, and he gave, distributed, this is for food for life, this is for this program, this is for this program, this project. And within fraction of a second, the table was empty. This person got the lesson. Completely detached. Everything should be used in service of Krishna. Krishna Prabhupada showed through his example. Completely detached, not attached to anything. So in this case, Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna wanted that he should renounce the kingdom. And therefore, he created a situation of indifference. Therefore, this accord situation was created by the Lord. Sometimes, it may be frustrating. But devotee's frustration is to elevate him. It may be externally, it may be frustrating. But it's for his elevation. And therefore, a pure devotee is made an instrument. And therefore, Krishna made Parikshit Maharaj an instrument so that the Bhagavatam could be revealed. If not, Arjuna was frustrated, then Bhagavad Gita would not have been spoken. Arjuna was put into illusion. Arjuna is another pure devotee of the Lord. And he is his own relative. Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, and Abhimanyu's son is Parikshit Maharaj. So if Arjuna had not been put into illusion by Krishna, if he had not been made an instrument, Nimitta, then Bhagavad Gita would not have been spoken. Similarly, Krishna wanted that Bhagavatam should be spoken, and therefore he made Parikshit Maharaj as an instrument. And therefore, this awkward situation was created, so that Sukadeva Goswami can come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So this is the first lesson. This is the kindness of the Lord. Second lesson is, it was providential. The king being thirsty, he approaching the sage and asking for water, this was providential. Because there was no chance of such unique happening. It was arrangement of the Lord. That the king was put into awkward condition. And then, Parikshit Maharaj, he asks for water from the Muni, who is meditating, and the sage doesn't respond. And seeing this, the king becomes angry. How can be the king? It was not unnatural for the king to become angry. First of all, he was not received. It is said the law of reception was not followed. The king did not expect a royal reception from the Muni. But at least a sitting place and some sweet words or some glass of water was expected. But that too was not offered. So getting angry was not something unnatural. It was natural for Parikshit Maharaj. But it was all ultimately ordained by the Supreme Lord. And therefore such behavior of Parikshit Maharaj is only because it was the supreme will of the Lord. Therefore, Bhagavatam teaches that to accept the will of the Lord. The whole pastime shows that we have to accept the will of the Lord. Whether it's good or bad, Bhagavatam teaches us that don't blame the situation or don't blame anyone. As Prabhuji was telling in the morning, this blame game goes on. Huh? How to see difficulties in life? Mahavishnu Maharaj once was, he was quoting a beautiful shloka. He was saying that sukhasya dukhasya na kopi data paro dadati iti kubuddhiresha paro krutam karma sadaiva bhunjate dehin kvachit nistara yat tvaya kritam. No one is the cause of our happiness or distress. Only a kubuddhi, foolish person, thinks that the miseries are given by others. When something goes wrong, we try to blame the situation or blame someone else. We don't want to take the blame on our own self. Bhagavatam teaches that blame your own self. We always enjoy happiness and distress based on our own karma, previous karma. So as long as one is embodied, he has to patiently tolerate the results of his past karma, and by this way he can get rid of it. So Bhagavatam teaches that nobody is to blame. The individual self is the cause of his happiness or distress. You do good activity, you get a reaction for it. Good reaction, you do bad activity, you get a bad reaction for it. And this cycle, perpetual cycle goes on. Nobody is to be blamed. And this is a very tall order, actually, if we see. One may say it's just an idealistic concept which you are presenting. This is the topmost understanding what Bhagavatam is giving. We can see, Maharaj Parikshit didn't justify. He had all power to counter curse. But he took an opportunity, best use of bad bargain. He just that took an opportunity to leave the kingdom. So never blame, we cannot blame others, because by blaming what happens, the miseries don't get come to an end. It keeps on lingering. Difficulties, they keep on more and more, they get aggravated. And therefore we get more and more distressed. It's a tall order, but even an attempt is made in this consciousness that nobody is to blame, and we don't get into blame game, criticizing, then committing offenses, then spoiling the relationship with devotees. If we just take the blame our own self, I am the cause of my distress, or I am the cause of my own happiness. If we think in this way, the attempt itself will make you a different person. This is what my understanding is. To come to that platform is our goal. But even an attempt to think in this way, to make our consciousness, prepare our consciousness to accept such things, that attempt itself will make us happy. If somebody, something goes wrong, we blame that person and we become more miserable actually. We cannot sleep at night. Somebody is insulting you, we cannot have a peaceful sleep at night. Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed that he is going to die in 7 days. But he was completely balanced. Why? Because of his consciousness, completely absorbed. Parikshit Maharaj was a devotee. He is a pure devotee. He is not a made devotee, like through college preaching or food for life program or congregation program. He had darshan of Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was in womb of Uttara. He saw the Supreme Lord, Angushya Matra. He saw the Supreme Lord. So, Parikshit Maharaj is not made devotee, but he is a great devotee of the Lord, and therefore he could understand this is the signal of the Lord. Pure devotees understand what the Lord wants from him, and he could understand that this is the signal of the Lord. I have to renounce. I have to be really indifferent. Virakta. I have to leave this kingdom and really surrender to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, don't blame. We have to really get out of this blame game. And in particular devotee community, it happens so because everyone is conditioning and everyone has different levels of anarthas, and it goes on, then criticism, then anarthas, and so many wrong things go, and ultimately it spoils the whole show. So if we just take that responsibility, we'll see what was the consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj. He's taking this blame on himself. So if we just try to make an attempt, that itself will be success. Because ultimately, result will be awarded by Shri Krishna. Making an attempt is most important. And therefore, the king, being not received properly, he threw a dead snake around the shoulder of Shamik Rishi and left. As soon as he left and Shamik Rishi's son, Shringi, he came to know that these things had happened. And Parikshit Maharaj returned. But after returning, that is a sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. As soon as he returned from the ashram of Shamik Rishi, immediately he started contemplating that whether really the sage was meditating or he was pretending to be, because he didn't want to receive a kshatriya, it's considered like a low, because he was a brahmana, Shamik Rishi, and he didn't want to receive it. Is he pretending or he was really in meditation? So he started contemplating. And then this son of the sage, Shringi, as soon as he heard that such things had happened, he spoke as follows. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that the first victim of Brahmanical injustice was Maharaj Parikshit. Prabhupada writes beautifully here, due to Maharaj Parikshit's good government, even a boy of tender age who was playing with the other inexperienced boys could become powerful as a qualified Brahmana. The boy was known as Shringi and he achieved good training in Brahmacharya by his father so that he could become as powerful as a Brahmana. Even at that age, he was a small boy. But because the age of Kali was seeking an opportunity to spoil the cultural heritage of the four orders of life, the inexperienced boy gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter in the field of Vedic culture. And therefore, he cursed Parikshit Maharaj. He said, on the seventh day from today, the snake bird will bite you. Because of having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. So Parikshit, this Shringi was made instrument in cursing the emperor, Samrat, Maharaj Parikshit. So another lesson to be learned here is Shringi, though he was been trained by his father, but still, because of his inexperience, because he was just a boy, he lacked in culture. And therefore, he didn't respect Maharaj Parikshit. And he took the position of a learned person. And further it is said that, he says that Krishna has left this planet. And now, I have to rectify the situation. That is the sign of false prestige which had entered in the mind of Shringi. So Kali entered through this boy. And therefore Shringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit. And then Shringi is giving justification. False prestige, pride gives rise to justification. He is justifying the situation. And all of us, we are conditioned. Whenever something goes wrong, we want to justify how I am correct and how the other person is wrong, or how the other situation was wrong. So we don't want to take the blame on our own self. So Shringi, he is justifying. He is saying that Parikshit Maharaj is at fault. How come he can enter a Brahmana's ashram and do such thing? And he is justifying. He is taking the side of his father and he is justifying. That is a sign of false prestige. And this is the principal sign, Prabhupada writes, principal sign of upstart, that Kali found a hole in this puffed up boy. And therefore, then he cursed. And very beautiful purport, Prabhupada writes, then Shamik Rishi, as soon as he came to know that his son has cursed Maharaj Parikshit, because after being cursed, this boy was in deep grief. And he wanted to release that particular grief which he had in his mind. And therefore he cried loudly in front of Shamik Rishi. Shamik Rishi was still in meditation. And he heard this cry of his child, of his son, and immediately came out of his meditation. And then the whole thing was revealed to him. And then Shamik Rishi, being a mystic, he really lamented, he repented. He said he glorifies, of course we have short time, he glorifies Maharaj Parikshit's qualities. And he says that if we curse, if that the curse has been released by you, now the whole system, government system will collapse. And what will happen? People will be after sense gratification and people will come to the level of donkeys and monkeys. There is a shloka quoting this thing. So he's speaking about the ill effects which are going to happen because of this curse. And therefore, Shamik Rishi, being a great mystic, he takes up the responsibility of his son. We see practically in Kali Yuga, nobody wants to take responsibility. Everyone wants to enjoy the benefits, but no responsibility. That is the conditioned soul's nature. No responsibility, but full benefits. Bhagavatam is teaching that we have to be really responsible. All these devotees are responsible devotees. Maharaj Parikshit is responsible for the act. Shamik Rishi is taking the full responsibility of his son. And he is saying, what have you done? Such a misfortune that you have cursed a great devotee of the Lord. And therefore there will be serious repercussions we will have to face. And therefore he prays to the Lord. The Rishi prayed to the all-pervading Supreme Person of Godhead to pardon this immature boy who has no intelligence and who committed this great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. So here Prabhupada gives very nice purport. A question may be raised that since it was the desire of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj be put in awkward condition, then why was the Brahmana's son made responsible for this offensive act? Why the boy was only made responsible? Prabhupada writes, the answer is that the offensive act performed by the child only was by a child only so that he could be excused very easily. Therefore, he was made an instrument by the Lord. And thus the prayer of the father was accepted. And then the question is raised, why Brahmana community as a whole was made responsible? The answer is given in from Varaha Purana. Prabhupada quotes that the demons who acted inimically towards the Supreme Person of Godhead and were not killed by the Lord were allowed to take birth in the Brahmana families. The all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the families of Brahmanas so that they could progress towards salvation. But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misused their Brahmanical culture due to being puffed up by vanity in becoming Brahmanas. The typical example is the son of Shamik Rishi. And all the foolish sons of Brahmanas are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi and be always on guard against the demonic qualities which they had from their previous birth. The foolish boy was of course excused by the Lord. Very important now, just you can hear. But others who may not have a father like Shamik Rishi will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantages by birth in a Brahmana family. So therefore, the whole incident was now cleared up because the sage regretted for the act committed by his son. Prabhupada writes in the purport that the whole incident is now cleared up. Maharaj Parikshit garlanding the sage with a dead snake was not at all a very serious offense. But Sringi's cursing the king was a serious offense. It was not just a sin, but it was an offense. In one of the lectures, Radha Govind Maharaj was saying, Paap jo bhakt nahi hai, wo paap karte hai. Bhakt hai, wo aparad karte hai. So sin is done by an ignorant person. Aparad is one step ahead. In spite of knowing, when one commits offense, that is an offense. So Sringi not only committed a sin, but he committed an offense at the feet of a pure devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. But because he was a boy, he was pardoned. He was forgiven by the Lord. The serious offense committed by the foolish child only, therefore, be deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord, although it was not possible to get free from sinful reaction. Maharaj Parikshit also did not mind the curse offered to him by foolish Brahmana. On the contrary, he took full advantage of the awkward situation, and by the great will of the Lord, he achieved the highest perfection of life through the grace of Sukhdev Goswami. So whole incident was been cleared up and concluded. This conclusion of this 18th chapter, it is said that all the whole incident is cleared up. Everyone was made instrument by the Lord. Everyone played the role so that the Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. The king was a devotee. Shamik Rishi was a mystic. Both were completely unattached by the to the accidental incident which took place by the supreme will. Both regretted the incident. Shamik Rishi is regretting, feeling sorry for what had happened and praying to the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj completely taking shelter of the Supreme Lord by taking shelter of Srila Sukhdev Goswami. And the playful child was only made an instrument and he was forgiven. So whole incident was cleared up. Prabhupada writes in the purport, and that is the conclusion of the 18th chapter. And then 19th chapter starts with Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness after the curse. We can just think, if somebody insults us, it hurts our ego so much. We cannot sleep unless the things are resolved. And we can think that if somebody getting a curse that is going to die in 7 days, what consciousness will be there in that person? Parikshit Maharaj is reflecting his consciousness. And beautifully, Prabhupada gives wonderful purports. You can go through it. We have less time, but around 10 lessons to be learned. We'll go a little fast, which reflect the attitude of Parikshit Maharaj reacting to the curse by Sringi. One should go through these purports, very beautiful purports. So this chapter 19, appearance of Sukhdeva Goswami. So the curse has been already given and Parikshit Maharaj is now returning home. And he is completely distressed. He is saying, I have unnecessarily done a wrong act against a Brahmana. Niragas. One who is faultless. And I am so uncivilized. And I have committed a heinous act of garlanding a snake on a Brahmana's shoulder. Such an offensive act. He is repenting. So the first principle of transformation is repentance. Sincerely repenting for the acts which one performs. We see in the present day situation, people are so desensitized. Of course, we are in the same category, but now at least we know that we have to repent. The bhajans which are given by our acharyas, there are many of these bhajans are in the dainya mood, expressing the humility, repentance. Bhaktivinod Thakur's, many of the bhajans, Amara Jeevan, and so many other bhajans, which reflect actually the mood. They are Paramahamsa Vaishnava. They are showing that what one should pray to the Lord. And how to repent also they show. They say that I have committed so many sins. Now he is a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. But he is just showing that it's just representing their conditioned soul. We have been committing so many sins and people are so desensitized. They don't feel sorry for what they have done. Breaking four regulative principles is so common. People don't feel it's something wrong they are doing. And if you don't break, then you are considered uncivilized. Uncivilized. Civilized means you have to break four regulative principles. You don't smoke. You don't drink. Then what do you do? You don't gamble. Then what do you do? Well, life is all about that. Eat, drink and be merry. So there is no repentance. And first sign of transformation, we have to really transform our heart. We want to really become devotees. We have to really repent for what we have been done. Since time immemorial, we have neglected God. We have forgotten God. Therefore, we are suffering. The moment we remember Lord, we are the happiest person. And therefore, conclusion of all these descriptions from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is these two principles. Always remembering Krishna and never forget Krishna. ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ట్రాజెడీ ప్రో మా హిజ్ హోలీనెస్ రాధానాథ్ స్వామి మహారాజ్ వాజ్ వన్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ట్రాజెడీ ఈజ్ ఫర్గెట్ఫుల్నెస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ నాట్ దట్ సమ్ క్రైసిస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ఫైనాన్షియల్ క్రైసిస్ ఎకనామిక్ క్రైసిస్ ఆర్ సమ్ గ్రేటెస్ట్ ట్రాజెడీ ఈజ్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఈజ్ దట్ వీ హావ్ ఫర్గాటన్ గాడ్ వీ హావ్ ఫర్గాటన్ కృష్ణ అండ్ సిన్స్ టైమ్ మెమోరియల్ వీ ఫర్గాటన్ గాడ్ వీ ఆర్ completely rejecting the laws of God. We are not abiding by the laws of God. If we have been abiding by the laws of God, we would be the happiest person. But because we are rejecting Lord, we are most unhappy. And therefore, the first principle of transformation is really repenting for our situation, for what we have been doing so far. But that repentance should not go put us into depression phase. That we go in such depression phase that I don't have any hope only. Further, as we proceed, we know, we will come to know, repentance should lead further to take some action. Not just repenting, I am fallen. Do something then. If you are fallen, do something that you upgrade yourself, elevate yourself. So therefore, Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada's books are full of hope. It's meant for fallen people. Bhagavatam is written, Prabhupada is written for people of Kali Yuga. For all of us, for all of conditioned souls like all of us. So it's not just repentance will solve the problem. That is the first step. And therefore, in the fire of repentance, all the sins are destroyed. So first step is that we have to really repent. And all our sins, accidentally, willingly or unwillingly, the sins which we commit, they will be burnt to ashes by the fire of repentance. So this is the first lesson which we learn regarding the consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj. In Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the follower. And we see different levels of devotees, even in a devotee community. Why? Because it all depends upon our attitude. How we take it. So here, Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness, his attitude has been reflected. Next, what happens? Parikshit Maharaj is a responsible devotee. He is expecting difficulty and calamity to fall on him. Prabhupada gives very beautiful purport. He says that because he has offended a Brahmana, and Brahmanas are very dear to the Supreme Lord. Go Brahmana Hitaya cha. So therefore, serious repercussions, serious reactions will come to him. And therefore, he is taking the whole responsibility on his own self. A man's personal misconduct affects all his family members. Whatever a family member, the main person in the family he does, he shares his sins with his family members. That is what Bhagavatam says, whether you have faith or not. If a father commits sin, everybody suffers. We can see practically. If somebody gets money in wrong ways, everybody is affected when he is put in jail. So it's like sharing. You commit any act, you have to share it with your family members. Parikshit Maharaj didn't want his family members to suffer. Parikshit Maharaj desired the calamity to fall on him alone. By suffering personally, he would be restrained from future sins. And at the same time, the sin which he had committed would be counteracted so that his descendants would not suffer. See this consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, we have to hear Bhagavatam. Such pure consciousness, when he has been cursed, we just can't think that if something goes wrong in our life, we can't think of such consciousness. He is such a responsible devotee, he is taking the whole blame on himself. That is the lesson we learn, that how one can become responsible. And Jiva Goswami says that his suffering was calamity, was not because of his past karma. It is the arrangement of the Lord. It's not because of the past karma he was been cursed. Parikshit Maharaj been cursed is only the will of the Lord. so that Bhagavatam could be spoken. So how come such a humble devotee of the Lord can be so detached, especially a powerful king? So Bhurijan Prabhu, in his book, he writes very beautiful understanding. He gives an example of a person acting in a drama. We are living in this world is actually a drama. It's a false drama, temporary drama. So when in a drama, actor is acting and he gets some wealth, he inherits some wealth, and he's been stabbed, he's been killed, because he has so much of wealth. But as soon as the curtain falls, he removes the knife from his back, gives the money to whom it belongs, and he just walks off. He knows there is something real life behind this drama. Similarly, pure devotee of the Lord knows that he has an eternal life after this life. He has, Krishna is waiting for him after his life, after leaving this body. And Krishna is just making him an instrument. So he does whatever he does to please Krishna. He does it very seriously, sincerely. But he knows that he is something different from the body. He is something different. He has an eternal spiritual identity. And therefore the whole drama was staged, and the main hero was Maharaj Parikshit, so that Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. So beautiful analogy Bhurijan Prabhu gives. So on one level, if we see, we can understand that we can see how one person may say that how it's so unfortunate that the king was been cursed. Therefore, from external point of view, therefore there we don't have that vision, and therefore we need guidance of acharyas. We need commentaries externally. How the king can be cursed, such a pure devotee, and how can be thing how he was cursed? Just like this great this mishap which happened, accident just few months back. And so many devotees passed away in this air crash. And so many devotees started asking questions. Doubt, immediately doubt enters. In Kali Yuga is so doubtful. How come the devotees died and non-devotees lived? This is the question which came practically everyone's mind. Even devotees of a good stature, they were also thinking, how come devotees died and non-devotees lived? Why Krishna is making such things? Why such things are happening? And then His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, all the way he flew back from US and gave wonderful lectures. Around 4 or 5 lectures he gave. And it was based on the principle given by Bhishma Dev. Accepting the will of the Lord. We cannot understand the will of the Lord. How the will of the Lord will work in devotee's life. So therefore we need a guru to have perspective towards life. We need Srimad Bhagavatam so that our whole perspective towards life changes. Otherwise, just again we blame. When such things happen, first reaction is that people start blaming God. Why such things are happening? There is no God. Atheism crops up when such situation happens. People say, it's not raining, where is your God? But Krishna is not, has nothing to do with these rains in this small city of Bombay. He is in Golok Vrindavan playing flute. It's just a collective karma of people. People are breaking 4 regulative principles. Therefore, it's a collective karma. And therefore, we are not getting rains, timely rains. There is shortage of food, everything. All these problems are there. It's just a collective karma. Individual karma and collective karma. And nobody is bothered. Nobody repents for it. And this foolish government makes an attempt to have artificial rains. How much rains they can pour? A few ml of water by spending crores of rupees. Indradev has to be pleased. Krishna has to be pleased. Yajna has to be performed. Bhagavad Gita says, the more we do Sankirtan, the more we'll get rains. Rains comes through yajna. Nobody is bothered about yajna. Nobody has this understanding. So therefore on one level one can understand that it's so misfortune on the part of the king. But on the other level one can understand the supreme will of the Lord. So through this instance one has to train not only to see Krishna's will in Parikshit Maharaj's life, but one has to understand the will is working in our lives also. We have to align ourselves with Krishna's desire. We have to become malleable with Krishna's desire. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, very beautiful shloka, Mat chitta sarva durgani, mat prasadat tarishyasi, ata chetvam ahankaran, na shroyasi vinakshasi. Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass all the obstacles of life by my grace. But if you act because of your false ego, not being conscious of me, you will be lost. So, Krishna consciousness is aligning our desires with the Lord's desire. Then we will not be falsely directed. We have to give direction to our life by taking direction from the scriptures, by taking direction from Guru, taking direction from the devotees. Then we will not be falsely directed. So therefore, this is the most important lesson, that accepting the will of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj accepted it's the will of the Lord, and he immediately renounced. And then death came as the news. And what was his response? When king was thus repenting, he received the news of imminent death. But he considered this news as good news. How many of us can think that if we are given notice, we are going to die, we will say good news? And therefore people don't want to talk about death. We start speaking about birth, old age, disease, death. They say, you are too pessimistic. Actually, devotees are really optimistic. They are presenting the facts of life. Janma, mrutyu, jara, vyadhi. Krishna is saying, these are the problems of life. And people don't want to talk about death because they are fearful of death. They say, because of ego, that I am not fearful of death. Everyone is fearful of death. Something goes wrong, immediately one wants to save himself. He has a fear. These are common characteristics of all living entities. Ahar, nidra, bhaya, maithun. Fearful. Parikshit Maharaj was not fearful. He accepted these news as good news. And therefore, he had the power to counter curse, but he did not want to bother. And he did not want to take undue favor from the Lord also. Parikshit Maharaj was saved by the Lord in the womb of Mother Uttara from the heat of Brahmastra. And Krishna could have saved him in this instance also, but he didn't want to take undue favor from the Lord. Pure devotee never wants to take service from the Lord, rather he wants to render service to the Lord. So therefore he took it as a signal. He could understand that it's a signal that I have to renounce. Time has come that I have to renounce the kingdom, give up everything and take exclusive shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, because he had this knowledge, because he was a great devotee of the Lord, therefore because of this knowledge, he had that determination. So only repentance will not help. Repentance should lead to making a determined effort, which Parikshit Maharaj had that determination because of his complete connection with the Lord. He had the knowledge about the Supreme Lord, knowledge about the spiritual world, knowledge about the pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, best use of the bad bargain. He immediately renounced. He was determined and he renounced the kingdom. So therefore, this is another important lesson, that determination will come only when that sambandha gyan is established with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, we have to continuously hear about the greatness of the Lord. When we know the greatness of the Lord, then our problems become insignificant. We have to make Krishna so great. He is already great, but by knowing his greatness, we come to know how insignificant we are. And how insignificant our problem is. We think my problem is the biggest. But when we start sharing others' problems, we will come to know that my problem is so insignificant. Therefore, if you want to really become happy, we have to preach. When we go out, we come to know actually how much people are suffering. And we are in our own comfort zone, we think I am the most suffering person. But there are people who are suffering more and more and more than what we are actually. Therefore, our problem becomes insignificant when we share this knowledge with others. So therefore, determined effort was taken by Parikshit Maharaj because of his complete connection with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, then he took shelter of Krishna Angri Sevam Adhimanyamana. Maharaj Parikshit sat firmly on the bank of Ganges to concentrate his mind on Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices because he had complete knowledge. He didn't look to Jnana Kand, Karma Kand, how to stop this curse, or doing some, what they say, puja to, I have this effect, I have that effect. People blame, oh, I am suffering, oh, I have this Mangal, or I have this Shani acting. Yeah, it's our own karma ultimately. Though these stars have an effect, but ultimately it's our own karma, which actually that's why we are suffering. Why blame the stars? We are responsible for our activities. We did something wrong, you must have slapped someone, therefore you are getting a slap. That we don't think, we blame someone else, and then we do something, karma kand and all that. But Parikshit Maharaj was completely aware. Topmost is serving the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna angri sevya sevam abhidyamanaya yamana. He sat down at the bank of Ganges, completely rejecting all other processes, because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. He was completely aware. He was aware of the spiritual planets, Golokrundan, Vaikuntha. Therefore, he didn't aspire to go to material planets, Swargalok or something, Prabhupada writes. He was completely aware, and therefore he rejected all other processes and completely took shelter of Krishna. And then the mother Ganges is been glorified in the next verse because Ganges emanates from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And therefore he took shelter of the mother Ganges because it helps us to remember Krishna. This is an important lesson, that why didn't took any other place, selected only that place, because that helped him to remember Krishna. Therefore he took shelter of on the bank of Ganges. Thus the king, the worthy descendant of Pandavas, decided once for all and sat on the Ganges to fast until death and give himself to the lotus feet of Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. By freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachments, he accepted the woes of a sage. Completely renounced everything. He gave up his kingdom to his son and he left everything. Completely detached. This attachment is so strong, till last moment people don't want to leave. Attachment to the body, attachment to the family, attachment to the possessions. It's not easy to give up. But only when we know the temporary nature of all these things, we can give up. When we know what is temporary and what is eternal, then only we can give attachment. When we know what is Param Satya, then only we can give these false attachments. And it comes only by the mercy of a spiritual master. Detachment comes when we surrender our lives to the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master gives knowledge, then we can really become detached. On our own, it's very difficult to become detached. So therefore, then he left everything and came to the bank of Ganges. And then, so many sages, the names are given. Atrimuni, Chaivana, Sharadvan, Arishnami, and the list goes on and on and on. And all these great sages came to see Maharaj Parikshit. Now they didn't come to Ganges to take bath. They came to see who is this great soul, Maharaj Parikshit, who is going back home, back to Godhead, who is heading towards Vaikuntha. They wanted to take darshan of Maharaj Parikshit. And so many sages, Prabhupada gives around 3 pages purport, explaining different sages. So that shows Parikshit Maharaj is not an ordinary soul, pure devotee, devotee of first order, Mahabhagavat, devotee of the Lord. And just by hearing, glorifying Maharaj Parikshit, one day we have hope that we can develop that renunciation from heart. Real renunciation is nothing is mine, everything belongs to Krishna. That is real renunciation. Not that we leave, okay, I don't want this, I don't want that. Real renunciation is everything is Krishna's and it has to be used in Krishna's service. That is real renunciation. So therefore, all these saintly people, they are assembled just to take darshan of Parikshit Maharaj. There were many other saintly demigods also came to see him. And special royal orders called Arunodayas, Rajarshis from different dynasties. And when they assembled, he was received properly. Now Parikshit Maharaj was a perfect person following the etiquette. He bowed down before his head before them. And with folded hands, he told his decision to them to fast until death. Prabhupada gives brilliant purport. He expressed his decision to the sages to elicit the opinions of the great authorities present there. He wanted to take permission whether this decision is authorized or not. This is most important. Any decision, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is exhibiting his humility. He wanted to confirm whether his decision is proper or not. That makes the matter perfect. This means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days were not irresponsible dictators. They scrupulously followed the authoritative decisions of saints and sages in terms of Vedic injunctions. And Parikshit Maharaj, being a perfect king, followed these principles by consulting the authorities even at the last point of death. So this is the most important thing. And then, just to conclude, just 5-10 minutes I will take. He is expressing his humility. He is saying, because I have been overly attached. Now there was no question. He was a Rajarshi, completely absorbed in thinking about Krishna. But he is exhibiting his humility. He is saying, I was overly attached. And therefore, to detach myself, Krishna has made such arrangement. And therefore, he is pleading these Brahmanas that please accept me as completely surrendered soul. And I only desire that you go on singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu, Vishnu Gatha. Go on singing. That was the consciousness of Charikshit Maharaj. He is requesting, he is surrendering his life to the sages and he is saying that please go on singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Because that is ultimate goal. One has to hear and chant about the Lord. And then he is offering his obeisances to the Brahmanas. And he is asking for three things which everyone can aspire. Everyone will be facing death. But one doesn't know what one should aspire at the moment of death. What should be the consciousness at the point of death? So he is exhibiting what should be the consciousness at the point of death. Most important things one can aspire for. He is aspiring for three things. Again offering Brahmanas, obeisances unto the Brahmanas, I pray if I should gain birth in the material world. Now there was no question of taking birth again because he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But he is showing through his example for a pattern of life. Even if he had to come, he says that this should be the pattern of my life. He is praying that I should have complete attachment, rati, to the unlimited Lord Shri Krishna. Second thing he is asking is, I should always be in association, prasanga. I should always get association of pure devotees. And third is, I should have friendly relations with all living entities. Parikshit Maharaj was never envious. If he had been envious, he would have counter-cursed. He's completely non-envious, and this quality really has to be developed. Because Bhagavatam is for nirmatsaranam satam. Why we can't understand Bhagavatam? Because we are envious. We may be little envious, middle, or maybe depending upon our conditioning and our past karma. But everyone is envious. Iccha dvesha samyuttena. Because we have envied the Lord, we are thrown in this material world. So nobody can say that I am a non-envious person. If we are non-envious, then we are lover of Krishna. So our aim is to become non-envious. Then only Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita will be revealed. Because Bhagavad Gita was revealed to Arjun who is non-envious. Not to Duryodhan who was envious. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, who is a pure devotee of the Lord. Non-envious. This quality of non-envious is most important. And he is aspiring. He is saying that I should have friendly relations with all living entities. And then, ఇన్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్డ్ మహారాజ్ పరీక్షిత్ సాట్ డౌన్ ఆన్ ద సీట్ ఫేసింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ నార్త్ అండ్ దెన్ ఆల్ ద గ్రేట్ సేజెస్ దే ప్రేజ్ హిమ్ అండ్ బ్లెస్ హిమ్ సేయింగ్ సాధు సాధు వెరీ గుడ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ యువర్ డిసిజన్ ఈజ్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ అండ్ దే బ్లెస్ హిమ్ అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ టేకింగ్ ద బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దిస్ సేజెస్ హీ సాట్స్ టు ఫాస్ట్ అండ్ దెన్ which we will not discuss today, then Parikshit, all the sages who are assembled, the entry of the great sage Sukadeva Goswami, Srila Sukadeva Goswami comes, everyone stands up except Vyasadeva because Vyasadeva is father, offers obeisances and then Parikshit Maharaj surrenders unto him and he asks him at the end of this particular section, he asks, please let me know, he is asking Sukadeva Goswami, please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship. And also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. And then the second canto starts. What one should hear, chant, remember and worship. Bhagavatam is explaining. So this is how the whole incident takes place. So there are so many lessons to be learned. Sorry for going over time. But just a short revision, because the mind is so disturbed in Kali Yuga, just to revise, just to recapitulate what we have discussed, lessons to be learned, we will just go in short, principles of transformation. First principle is repentance. Parikshit Maharaj is repenting for the act he had done. It was not something very sin, grievous sin, but he is taking up the responsibility. Second lesson, taking up the responsibility for whatever we do in life. And considering everything, whatever happens in our life, one should consider that it's actually good for me. Krishna wants me to get purified in this way. If you have that attitude, then that virakti, indifference, can be developed. Then the fourth lesson is determination. Determination will come only when we surrender our lives to Guru and Krishna. And when that determination comes, then only knowledge will manifest in our heart. By accepting a spiritual master, we get determination and knowledge. And when we accept a spiritual master, when we make a determined effort, then we can remember Krishna. And when we can remember Krishna, then gradually detachment will come. Detachment comes only when we become attached to Krishna. We are not after artificial detachment. Therefore, Prabhupada says, even if you have an attachment to eat gulab jam, you will have to come back. Even that small desire, small attachment, you will have to come back. So therefore we eat prasad and purify our desire. Is it not? So therefore, freeing oneself from all attachment will come only when we become attached to Krishna. Our process is positive. Not that you give up this, give up that. No, first do something positive. First do some practice spiritual activities. Hearing, chanting. Then automatically negative things will go. And then this principle of appreciation is most important. Parikshit Maharaj is appreciating all these sages. And he is not taking the credit for his own self. He is saying, all great sages you have come, it's only because I have a great heritage of Pandavas as my forefathers. It's only because them that you have assembled here. So he is giving credit to his forefathers. So appreciating what one gets, that will help us to transform our life. And then approaching authority, which is most important. And getting sanction, whatever our plan is. Unless it is sanctioned by authority, it will not work. So Parikshit Maharaj is getting sanction, what was his plan, to fast to death. And then it was appreciated by the sages. And then he is expressing his gratitude towards the sages for their having come and giving them association. And he is surrendering his life to them and asking for these three things. Complete attachment to the Lord, Rati, ఆల్వేస్ బీన్ అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్ అండ్ ఫ్రెండ్లీ రిలేషన్స్ టు ఆల్ దర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ అండ్ దెన్ సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి కమ్స్ అండ్ హీ సరెండర్స్ టు హిమ్ యాజ్ ఎ స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ ఆస్క్ హిమ్ వాట్ హెస్ టు బి డన్ వాట్ వన్ షుడ్ హియర్ చాంట్ రిమెంబర్ అండ్ వర్షిప్ సో విల్ స్టాప్ హియర్ హరే కృష్ణ జాయ్ శిల ప్రభుపాద్ కి శ్రీమద్ భాగవత్ మహాపురాణ్ కి హరే కృష్ణ సో వీఆర్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ థ్యాంక్ఫుల్ ఫర్ పేషెంట్ హియరింగ్ ఇట్స్ ఈజీ టు టాక్ సో ఐ టేక్ దిస్ అపార్చునిటీ ప్లీజ్ ప్రే సో వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ హావ్ స్పోకన్ ఐ షుడ్ ఫాలో